with Linda Formicelli and Marla
Hello.
Beck.
Hi. Hello.
And we're excited to finally get started on lesson three, our final session of Write Big. And last week, we had, hang on, just to give you a little review. We, so far in this training, we have given you some practical, specific strategies for how to deal with specific situations that writers tend to find stressful and anxiety-producing, and also did a whole session that I honestly thought was one of the best trainings we have ever given it about sort of the generalized anxiety problem and ways to beat that. And we're going to top it today with some awesome live coaching with Marla. We're really excited. Linda, you want to introduce Marla?
Yes, so what's going to happen is that Marla is going to be providing live coaching to three of the writers who shared their fear questions with us. And I'd like to introduce Marla to you. Marla Beck, MFA, helps women writers lead their lives with clarity, confidence, and courage so they can go back to writing and write what matters most. A professional coach since 2005, Marla's helped hundreds of freelancers and fiction writers to fire up their writing careers from the inside out. Writers use Marla's coaching to help themselves feel truly happy again by learning to finally take charge of their careers and finishing their novels, book proposals, and other important writing projects. Marla's thoughts on writing have been featured in The Productive Writer, Writer's Digest magazine, and online at The Renegade Writer, Woo! Word Count, Writer's Inner Journey, and elsewhere. Marla lives with her husband, daughter, and cat in Marin County, California. Her blog is coachmarla.com. And you could also get an inspiring MP3, and I will put in the link where you can download that. And Marla has also coached me personally, so I know she's awesome. So thank you for being here, Marla.
The connection now.
Good,
Awesome.
really good.
And now we're gonna dive into it.
Yeah, Marla
Excellent.
actually has
Thanks
some
so much.
general tips. Oh, sorry. I was just going to say you have some general tips on how to get the most out of this coaching.
Woohoo! Absolutely, absolutely. Carol and Linda, it's such a privilege to be here today. Thank you again for inviting me.
It's great to
And
have you.
for everyone, I thank you. Thank you. I just want to invite you all to really sit in your chair if you're sitting down, to just kind of allow your body to relax. I often encourage people I'm on the phone with to let your feet feel that floor, whether it's through your shoes or not. We just want to take a breath and really be here. I want to encourage you to listen today with an open mind. I didn't really appreciate this type of group coaching call until I experienced it myself as I was participating in a program. I couldn't believe how often I could find something to identify with in each speaker, even if the externals of our situation were different. So I strongly encourage you to just relax, grab your notebook, have your pen ready, and be here with an open mind and listen for what's something for you to hear. And there's no magic here. I want to say that right up front. I'm not going to say anything super brand new here. Linda and Carol have put together so many resources and offered so much. It's all here. What I hope to offer you today is another voice, another way of looking at things, and I'll share with you some experiences that may help you from my own coaching practice. So again, listening with an open mind. What's in it for me? I can almost assure you there's going to be something helpful for you. Secondly, I love this. You're not unique, and this is good. Now, I don't mean to be insulting here. I mean to give you permission to just be human. Because, the writing fears that I've seen on the forum and heard from writers in my practice, things like doubtful family members, just not sure if you're good enough, afraid the editor won't like you or the readers won't like you, wondering if just being a writer is enough, fearing that you can't do this work and still be yourself, worried that you'll make the wrong decision about how to use your time or maybe even the money that you're earning, fear of asking for money, fear of choosing a niche. huge, huge net of fears. And I want you to know that whatever you are experiencing now, I'm guessing there's somebody else in your class who can relate. So please let go of any shame or any guilt or negative stuff that could be draining your energy around this, okay? If you're having fear, it's just a sign that you are human. It's totally natural. And the best part is it's usually a sign that you're on the right track. Lastly, take a moment now and set an intention for what you most want to take from today's call. What is your intention for today's call? Perhaps it's encouragement. Perhaps it is an answer. Perhaps it's permission to try something. Think for a moment and write that down. And I'll just share with you my own intention for you and for our call today. I just hope that something in your heart opens up just a little bit more and that you feel freer to give something a try, to let go of judging yourself, or to take a risk or the very next step that you know you're capable of. So really, I hope to untangle something for you, whether you're one of the writers I'll be speaking with personally or somebody who's learning from the call. All right, Linda.
Okay, thank you very much. So yes, I think that is some really good advice on how to get the very most out of this call. We are going to start the live sort of hot seat coaching with Leanne. And the topic is going to be, is it too late to make a living writing? And a quote from her post is, now at 50, it may be too late to be an astronaut, brilliant neurosurgeon, or movie star, but there's no reason on God's green earth why I can't write or make a living writing. Carol, can you unmute Leanne?
Hi there, it's Leanne.
Hey, Leanne!
Successful, unmute.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so, Leanne, Marla, Leanne.
So nice to meet you, Marla.
Hi, Leanne. How are you today?
I'm really well today. How about you?
Good. I am doing great. And I just want to really congratulate you for stepping forward and being willing to chat with me today. It's a brave thing to post about your fears in your class forum, and I think it's even braver to be stepping up and wanting to get some answers. So how can I help you today?
My intention is for perhaps some reassurance, an idea of how I can combine all of, you know, my short, it's only 50 years, but combine all of my experience and find niches. And what my problem was that I tried to find jobs doing writing, and none of them would even take my calls because I didn't have a degree. So I got really discouraged. Okay. I don't know enough.
Okay. All right, Leanne, help me understand what ideally you would like to create for yourself with your writing career.
I would like,
do you have, go ahead.
I can tell you what it looks like. It looks like I'm pitching about once a week, once or twice a week, working on a project with at least one project coming in. A part-time gig is fine for me. I don't have to earn a huge amount of money, but just, you know, something.
Mm-hmm.
So a part-time job, a part-time business.
Excellent. And I'm going to dig in here, so bear with me for a moment. If money isn't your main motivator with this, what is driving your desire to freelance write?
I feel compelled. I have always wanted to do this, and now that I'm able to spend some time on it, I guess I kind of want to prove that I can do it. And, you know, hey, it'd be great at a cocktail party to say, yeah, I'm a writer.
Okay. And all you've always wanted to do this. Have you always felt like a writer?
No.
Or an aspiring writer? No. Mm-hmm.
No, that only came just recently.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I started blogging. I started doing a lot of blogging, and I build websites. I'm a techie at heart, so I've been doing a lot of stuff online and kind of putting my essence out there. And so now, saying that I'm a writer feels right. It's what I do.
All right. Excellent.
I'd love to tell my mom, hey, look at Rolling Stone. I've got an article in there.
What about that would be satisfying to you?
I would feel proud, accomplished. I'd really love to... Gosh, can I just come right out and say I think it's really impressive to be a writer, and I would really like to impress other people with my ability to write. I want to get out there. I want people to hear me. At the same time, don't look at me.
Leanne, it's interesting to me that you want so much to put your voice out there, to be paid for it, to have projects coming in, and yet the resistance that you've told me you've run into is that somebody told you that you didn't have a degree.
Yes.
What often happens when we're stepping towards our real selves, and that's what I see this as, you stepping more fully into being Leanne by embracing the part of you that wants to communicate ideas and be more visible.
Yes.
And it's no surprise that takes courage. That's why we're all here today. But one of the things that can really hang you up when you're in that stepping out phase that you're in right now is that fear of being a fraud.
Yes.
Does that resonate at all?
Oh, yes. Right on the nose.
Okay. So a lot of times we think we need another credential, yet another certificate. We need to prove kind of our validity to do this thing. Tell me, on a tangible level, where have you been getting stuck? What have your challenge? Are you pitching?
No. Finding ideas.
Okay.
Yeah, really, I think that's where I can start, is finding ideas, and I've actually identified a few markets that I would like to write for, just don't have any ideas. Mm-hmm. I can have ideas for other people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that's possibly connected to what we're talking about here. You know, nobody hands you a big old permission slip when you first start writing that says you're allowed to do this thing, you can do it. That has to come from inside of you. And one of the ways that you can kind of work with this fear and allow yourself to get started is to just, rather than setting your goal as I'm going to be a writer published in Rolling Stone and getting all that visibility and validation, two things I'm going to suggest. One is to focus on the process. This week, I'm going to choose a topic and pitch it. Next week, I'm going to do that. Thank goodness you're connected with Carol and Linda, who have this wealth of experience and trainings for you to help you with all the technical stuff. But what's going to really allow you to rise up and start taking action is allowing yourself to believe there's no reason why you can't write one article that somebody would pay you for and perhaps enjoy or learn from or benefit from? How does that feel when you take that idea on, that perhaps one outlet out there would pay me for one article that I write, one idea?
It feels good. It feels doable.
Oh, doesn't that feel better? Yes.
Yes. And so the ideas will just come once I give myself permission?
You'll have the ideas will have more, less to have to fight to get to your consciousness. That's for sure. In terms of finding ideas to pitch, you said that you're in tech. What I really encourage you to do, it's a playful exercise for generating ideas, is to write a few columns on a piece of paper. I like to turn the paper horizontal. And perhaps at the top of one column might be technology. That's it's a knowledge base. It's a subject area you know a lot about. At the head of a next column, you may pick something that just you care about. For someone, it might be travel. For someone else, it might be biology. And the third column, if you want to do this, three across, that might be something that you notice in the world that you wish were different. So either you're having a strong reaction of fear or of anger that it exists. And what you do is you kind of pretend that each one of these columns is the one area that you're working on. So take technology, and I'm just going to riff because I know nothing about technology. If we had more time, you and I could do this here. But you might say, gosh, I don't know, automated health records, accessibility for disabled, you know, just random subtopics. And a way to get this out and make it playful is to set a timer just for 7 minutes. See how many possibilities, how many things in that general heading of technology interest you, or do you think you know a little bit about? You do the same for each column. And then here comes the fun part. Connect. You draw a line and see, can I pull something from that column of things that make me mad and technology? Ooh, maybe there's an interesting intersection here for a story I could write. So somebody's asked me on the chat to repeat column headers. Again, everybody, it's taking your paper, turning it horizontal, and drawing three columns, left, middle, and right. And at the top, you choose a topic, something general, something that you know something a little bit about. And for the last column, why don't you choose something that you wish were different in the world, something that makes you angry. Set a timer for 7 minutes. And brainstorm and play, emphasis on play. And Leanna, I love that you just said that sounds like fun. You're having fun. Fear is kind of irrelevant because you're playing. And here we are. We've gotten started with a topic generating exercise and a much more focused and doable goal. We're not saying get published.
I feel like I can chunk it down.
Awesome. So your job really is just to do whatever it takes to force yourself to choose an idea. So if you're starting on Monday, you have to have that idea chosen by Tuesday or Wednesday. Draft the pitch and then press send on Friday. Focus on the process. And, of course, you'll be learning as you go using the Freelance Writer's Den. You're going to get results.
Super. Gosh, that seems so doable. In a way, I feel like I just...
Thank you so much.
I think, Carol, you might want to put a Word document that just is a permission slip. You are a writer. You can write.
Ah, too funny.
I'm loving
that.
I
bet a lot of people would be able to use it.
Yes, I'd like to download it and print it and put it on the wall.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much, Marla.
Yes. Yes. It was a privilege to talk with you today, and I have a feeling you're going to break through this and get busy with these pitches. Good job.
I do too. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you, Marla.
Yeah, I love that. Leanne, I want you to put one thing in chat before we move on to Ray, and that is, what kind of jobs were you applying to where they told you that you had to have a degree? I'm very interested to learn about that because I see very few that have that. So that's a little interesting to me. I'm going to turn your voice off and let us move on. And now we are going to unmute Ray, if we haven't already. Yes, I'm turning you on. Ray, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Hi, Ray.
Hi.
Oh, okay. So, yes, we have Ray here. Ray, this is Marla. Marla, Ray.
Okay, great. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
We can hear you. Yes. Yes. Well, Ray, welcome. Welcome to the hot seat. I'm waving to you from California. I don't know where you are. Thank you for stepping up to do this. You know, when I looked at your question on the forum, you wrote about wasting your time pitching and not bringing in the money. And this is something I hear a lot in my practice. I'm guessing many people in the course can relate. So really wanted to chat with you. See what's going on and see if I can help you today.
Yeah, well,
so let's start by, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, mm-hmm. I was just going to say, I think a lot of people, especially people who get stuck in the content mills, we kind of get complacent in this area of, I have guaranteed work. It's there. I just have to do it. And it's a guaranteed paycheck. If we can just write fast enough and get enough done each day, then we're good to go. But that gets exhausting, and it's mentally draining and emotionally draining, and you don't get recognition for it. Oftentimes, you don't get bylines. You don't get to put it on your portfolio, and it's just hit and miss. It's kind of like there and gone. So it's battling that fear of, well, I have this guaranteed work, or I can spend time pitching, and who knows if I'll ever get paid for it.
I'd like to ask you, and I'd like to start by stepping way back for a moment. First started writing for pay, so writing professionally. What was your intention then? What did you want?
It was really a way for me to make an income on my own terms. I could make my own schedule. I was going to school at the time. I was working 4, 5, 6 jobs on my campus. I had all this stuff going on, and I was just overwhelmed with a busy schedule. So I really wanted an income that would allow me to make my own schedule and kind of fit the work in where I could, as opposed to my life revolving around work.
Good. Okay. That's clear. And how far along are you towards achieving that goal? Have you done it?
Well, yeah, I'm there. I mean, I write full-time. That's make my living. I don't have any other job. I do little things here and there, like website stuff, and I'm working as a publicist for an author right now, but that's very little work compared to my writing work.
Okay, great, that's good for me to know. Now let's step back for a moment, and I want to hear, you know, you told me your practical motivator, and it's a good one, and it sounds like you've achieved it. You wanted to make an income on your own terms, to be able to work on your own schedule and have control so that your life doesn't have to revolve around your work. And I think really, I hope that you're acknowledging that for yourself, how incredible it is that you've done this and created this for yourself. But I want to ask you to step back for a moment and connect to the part of you that had a writing dream. So was writing always a means to money? Or what What other reason drives you to write?
Well, it definitely started out as a means to money, but at the same time as I was doing this writing career, I was getting degrees in psychology and counseling and criminology. And a lot of what I've learned along the way is that writing can be a big outlet for people who are dealing with emotional issues, PTSD, who maybe don't have very good home situations and end up turning to a life of crime and things like that. So kind of my vision has been to write about ways that people can turn writing into a self-therapy kind of thing to process what they're going through so it doesn't turn into an external lashing out at the world.
Wow, that is powerful. Or just teach them more about using writing to help people who are at risk to themselves and society. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd love to do things like public speaking events and in high-risk areas and things like that, but I feel like I have to kind of have that notoriety behind me, and I don't have any bylines, especially in my preferred subject area. And that's kind of going back to the whole, I'm afraid to give up this constant source of income. If I, you know, drop that, it's guaranteed, but it's, you know, draining versus pitching and writing about what I'm really passionate about.
It sounds like you've got a vision. You know you need to build your platform, and that in order to do that, in order to build your expertise in this area, maybe get out there and do some public speaking, you need some bylines. So you do have to pitch in order to make your long-term dream come true. Tell me about, right now in your mind, it sounds like things are black and white, either or, which is kind of natural because it feels that way. I either get paid to write this stuff or I write what I'm passionate about. There are absolutely ways to move towards having both the income and the rewarding work. In terms of your income needs or goals, is there any flexibility there for, let's say, 6 months? If you knew you were going to adjust it for just a short period of time, could that work for you?
Well, already my daily goals are monetary. You know, I write until I reach my daily goal, and a lot of times that takes me a big chunk of day. And I also have a lot of other things going on. I'm still in school and family, of course. Everyone's trying to balance work and family. And it feels like I'm using up all the time that I have during the day that I'm willing to devote to writing, generating that income. And when I'm done with that, I'm so relieved that it's done for the day that I don't really want to spend more time writing and generating ideas. And, you know, so I am kind of already meeting my bare minimum. But, you know, I have to do something in order to get the pitches out there so I can exceed my bare minimum.
Is working for the content mills the right day, bread and butter gig for you? That's the question in my mind.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I didn't hear the first part of your question.
Sure. Is earning your living the way that you are, is it going to allow you the freedom to pitch?
So far, no, because I don't have the time or energy at the end of the day to do it.
Right. So there's two options here. One is to push yourself, and it's not usually the option I suggest to people because it's not sustainable. But, Ray, you could say, you know, for 1 week out of the month, I am going to push myself out there, or whatever number feels right to you. You could ask more of yourself. Continue to do your content mill writing, and just get the pitches out? Why 1 week out of the month when you know you want to create this platform and all of this? Because you have to make this work for you energy-wise and motivation-wise. We don't want you to be exhausted and discouraged. You know, there's that saying, I can do anything if I just do it for 24 hours versus days and days, right? So that's one possibility. But the other possibility that I would encourage you to think about is finding another way to write for money that requires less time and pays you more. I'm thinking,
where would I find that?
you're like, where is it? Show me the money.
Yeah.
You know, it would be interesting to think about nonprofits that are working in the area that's related to your vision. So what organizations out there are serving these populations, whether it's individuals or institutions? Who is already helping the people that you eventually want to help with your writing? Perhaps they may need a newsletter written once a month. Perhaps they may need fundraising copy. If you have the brain power, and I really do empathize with having school and writing and this other thing that you want to get off the ground, but if you have a little bit of brain power to learn about getting those types of gigs, they can provide you, I'm guessing, with steady income, which is great, steady. Maybe if you needed to supplement with what you're doing now, you could. But you would have more time and more energy to pitch. So I kind of see this as an exciting thing because you have an opportunity to keep things that just accelerate on a periodic basis, like once a month. Or you could take the reins and say, I deserve a day job that's going to allow me to do what I really want.
So it sounds like you're saying for 1 week a month, go full speed ahead, throw everything into it, and do both basically at the same time, the pitching and writing for income.
If I were in your situation, I'm sure I would be tempted to do that option, yeah, first.
Yeah.
Rather than like trying to get the new day job in place, the new bread and butter gig. But yes, that is what I am suggesting. If you really want this, and to me, it sounds like this is really important, that the world needs this, or this population does, these people who need to learn to have writing as a tool to help them. Honoring your vision. If you can't do it full on every day, why not in these little pushes? They do add up in the course of a year. That would be 12 weeks, 3 solid months of effort.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge.
And, you know, we need to wrap up in a moment. Absolutely reduce your expectations of yourself during that week. So if somebody else can take on more housework just for that week, you know, just as things get changed around when you have a final exam to study for. So,
thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
But I really would strongly, you are so welcome. It's great to
you
talk
too.
With
thank you.
You. All right.
That was really great. We are going to, can you hear me?
All right, Linda.
Okay, so we are going to...
Hi there.
Hi. We're going to move on to Rita, whose question is, can I make a living writing on my own terms? And she has a lot going on in her life right now, and she says, my goal now is to identify other work and niches that are more compatible with increased family responsibilities, but I'm still nervous about committing to an assignment, any assignment, and is taking a lot of energy to push forward. Rita, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, it's working.
Yay.
So,
hi, Rita.
Rita, this is Marla. Marla, this is Rita.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Hi, Rita.
You're super loud.
You. Excellent. Well, Rita, it was neat to read your post on the forum because I think a lot of writers can relate to really needing to take on work that works for them. And I think I'm remembering that you posted that you got a gig that worked better than grant writing. Is that right?
Yeah, I took a flyer. Somebody contacted me about doing some line editing, and I've never done line editing. And she wasn't able to pay me what I wanted, but I thought, what the heck? So I just did it, and it took 2 days. And I realized I could do something demanding. I had the concentration for it as long as I got started, got a good start, and it was so much easier. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a revelation.
You know what? I mean, I just want to point out what I see happen for you with that, mm-hmm. so that other people can be thinking about it. It's that you set the intention that you didn't know how it could work, writing and honoring the way that you need to show up for family. But mm-hmm. you had that intention, and then you were open to it. You responded to an opportunity, and it happened. So for you with your next step, and for anybody listening, it's hard not to think that you have to know how something's going to work out before you even set that intention or that vision. But I just strongly encourage you to do like Rita did. It worked. It worked.
Yeah, I was surprised.
How can I help you now? Mm-hmm. Starting from where we are now, how can I help you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm rebuilding. I realized I've had a lot of realizations in the last couple of months. And I just know that I need to rebuild the whole way that I work and what I do for work. I've always just taken what came to me and did it, and I felt like I had to do it on their terms, and you know, I would rather die than miss a deadline or ask for an extension. And when my family life crises started happening about 4 years ago, it got more and more and more unmanageable. And then I joined the Den 2 years ago, intending to add other types of work, but the first gig was so demanding, I just couldn't do it. So it got to a bad crisis point this winter, and I realized I just had to let it go. The loss of the money makes me really nervous, but I was about to just lose it. So I let it go, and now I just need to rebuild it so that it works for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess mainly just trusting. Pardon?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, that's the scope of that is rather large for our conversation today. That's what I work with people on for 6 months at a time. But for today, what is one brick in that structure that would really be helpful to you?
Well, there are lots of possibilities, and I guess narrowing the possibilities down is, you know, feels overwhelming. So I just need to give myself permission to trust my instincts, moving forward to identify what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, they say scale back. They say rebuild. They say don't take on anything huge, just to do things gradually. What I'd really like is a stable of clients that I can do work for, do it part-time, and expand and contract as necessary. That sounds vague, but I just can't take on anything that's has huge obligations, really big, you know, firm and fast deadlines. So identifying that kind of work, I guess, is my challenge at hand.
Marla's voice is still on for us at our end. Marla?
Hmm.
Now I see it looks
yes.
like she's talking.
Hello.
But I didn't hear her.
There she is.
Hi, everybody.
She's there. Hi, Marla.
Great. Go.
Hi there.
Hi.
Okay, wonderful. Yes. So, Rita, it's really important for you in this time to have conviction
yeah.
that the way will develop if you're willing to hold this line for
yeah.
yourself. I really said honor your intuition and do scale back. At the same time, you've got to really ramp up learning more about the types of writing gigs that match what you're looking for.
Yeah, I agree. And that's, the Den is great for that.
What are your, so. Yes, you're in the right place. I also would encourage you, you know, it's one thing to rebuild mm-hmm. your career in reaction to things being out of balance. It's another thing to rebuild your career in the direction of your dreams.
Yep. I think it should be that, actually. It's going to have to be both, but I've written so many things for so long that I didn't really care about, so it would be really nice to go for the dream.
It is absolutely possible. I help writers do this all the time. You've got experience. And some of the starting points with that is to kind of like what I was talking with Leanne about earlier, but it's really identifying what you care most mm-hmm. about or what you care about.
Yeah.
Identifying also, as Ray and I talked about, your vision. What would you ideally like to do with this talent of yours? Mm-hmm.
I have some vague words, but, you know, I guess I need to narrow those down. Anyway, what excites me most are ideas, connecting people with ideas, expressing ideas, illuminating ideas, sharing ideas, and, you know, for service, I guess. And it could be as small as a how-to article, or it could be as large as a larger organization or a larger cause, such as political bipartisanship. I have way too many interests, so that's basically it, ideas and connecting.
No, you don't, honey. That's perfect. Do some listing and some writing about all these interests.
Okay.
And see if you can't dare yourself to dream big. Here we are in the Dream Big Boot Camp. Dream big. If somebody were to pay me to use my time in X way, what would that be?
Ooh.
And I can guarantee you that there's some part of that that's relevant and possible for you now.
That's so exciting. Thank you.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome. I think you're on the right track. I think it's just allowing yourself to make a firm decision that door is closed, and here you are in a hallway. The next one hasn't opened yet, but it will. You just keep shuffling your feet forward. And brainstorm with people. You know, a lot of times, this lady who wants to generate a vision or article ideas, there's something that happens when humans get together and bounce ideas off each other. So don't think you have to do this all by yourself. Have a conversation with somebody and see if they can help you.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much.
Alrighty.
You're very welcome. All right, everybody. That's great.
Okay, this is Linda. So thank you for doing that, Marla.
I love you guys. It's great to hear the challenges. And thank you, Leanne, Ray, and Rita, for speaking up. I know people got a lot out of your experiences.
So, Marla, I know you wanted to give four final tips before we close out the call with the final questions.
Absolutely. And I'll keep these quick. They're very simple, Linda. And the first is if you are experiencing fear, and I'm guaranteed that if you're a writer and you are working for 1 week, you will feel some fear somewhere in that week because we're human. But don't sit and think your way out of it. It's just not really possible. The shift that you're looking for will come through action. So what is the next small step you can take? Maybe there's a friend from the Den you can call to have an accountability check-in with in 1 hour. Take responsibility and push yourself to actually use your body and do something that's a fast path out of fear. The second point, this says it all, the slide, fear really is a good thing. If you're not feeling scared, you're doing what's comfortable. You're doing what's usual for you, and you're not growing. So at least from my coach's perspective, when a client says, I'm scared, that means the real goodness is on its way. You know, stay with it. The other thing to remember is that we as coaches have this saying, new level, new devil. You know, if you master getting your very first pitch out, I guarantee you that that you're going to need to master another skill soon after that. There are always going to be fears and skills to master. Fear will not go away in your career. If that's the case, we might as well make friends with it and embrace it. This one, number three, is a moment. And this is for you, especially Leanne, or people who are just stepping onto the path. This discomfort and this fear that you feel, am I good enough? Am I going to fail? Am I doing this right? I swear, once you embrace your identity as a writer and you use the tips and the skills that Carol and Linda are teaching you, that fear will go away. So it really is a small moment in the whole arc of your writing career, but there won't be a rear if you don't stay tight and manage yourself through this beginning part. So if you're somebody who's starting out, remember, this is just a blink in the eye of your whole career. All right, and finally, clarity, conviction, and confidence. Beautiful words, powerful words. If you really want to work with that energy of fear, you've got to be a bit feisty. You've got to be willing to talk back. Tell yourself that you are good enough. And for now, you are doing it right, and you are doing the right action. There's room for faking it here in terms of the conviction part. If you aren't sure whether it's okay to pitch instead of make the money for that day, make a choice and then tell yourself it's the absolute right choice for that day. There's a lot of self-coaching that goes on with this. And the more clear, the more connected to your purpose, and the more confident you can be, the less fear has a chance to chink away at your armor and at your actions that are going to develop your writing career. So that's it, Linda.
All right. Awesome. That is the conclusion of our presentation. And now that we have kind of hit all possible angles on fear, we want to say, as Marla was just saying about don't think, do, we would like you to do some homework challenges. And writers have been starting to do it. And it's super awesome, the things they're posting and the mm-hmm. learning and the sort of the light bulb moments that are coming out of doing these actions that you've always been scared to do. We are going to go to questions, and I decided that I just have to start with one says so much that I think so many writers feel that I really wanted to read it and have Marla give some thoughts on it. Mike says, I've often considered my biggest fear and the ones covered in this bootcamp of fear of rejection, fear of success, low self-esteem, all rank highly, but the big thing is I have nothing original or important to say. And he goes on to say, you know, that he has a lot of accomplishments. He's been told you're a really good writer, and then nothing. He doesn't seem able to act on it. He says his fears involve the words I, not, and enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough. I won't make enough. I'm not disciplined enough. I don't have enough experience. I don't have enough clips. I'm not qualified enough for this market. I'm steadily plodding through the negativity, but I feel like I've been stuck here so many times. What's it going to take to bust through it and push myself?
Wow.
Marla?
Wow. Yes, that's powerful, Mike. And I have nothing original or important to say.
Oh, there she is!
Hello. Hi.
Yay.
Hi, can you hear?
Yes.
All right. No, that's a powerful question, important one. You know, Mike, I just want to share with you an anecdote or from my own coaching practice. 5 years ago, I was working with a science writer who had this, or actually she's an economic writer. She has this interest in middlemen, so people who are mediators in economies. And she said, Marla, nobody would be interested in this. And I hear that so much from science writers who are thinking of book topics, from writers like you who are pitching stories, that this is a weird idea. Nobody would be interested. Yesterday, I got a note from Marina thanking me and snapshotting the acknowledgments page on her book. It was published by Macmillan. It came out this month. It's called Middlemen. She trusted that she had that her weird idea was worth something and put it out there. So I hope that's encouraging you, to you. A lot of times we think we are looking outside at what other people are doing, but we're sitting on a gold mine. Your experiences, your ideas, your weird interests, I swear to you, if you allow them to rise to the surface, play around with combining them in new ways, as I talked about in that three columns exercise, you will come up with an idea that is saleable and marketable. And for you, Mike, I would say start with the action. Just trust me on this and give this a shot. Work on this and get them out there. And then if you're interested in diving further, since you sound like somebody who's self-aware, there's a wonderful meditation teacher who I listen to her podcast a lot. You may know her as well. Her name is Tara Brach, T-A-R-A-B-R-A-C-H. She just did a podcast a few weeks ago on fear, in which she broke down fear into two big categories, fear of failure, which I think she called FOF, and fear of missing out, which she called FOMO. I highly recommend this podcast because, as you said, you listed a lot of fear of not being enough. She offers many, many ways to think about that and to learn how to manage that in yourself when it comes up.
Great. Thank you. And do we have any other question that we can get to in the next couple of minutes?
I want to do one more. So Sylvie wrote, maybe it's a side effect of starting out in content mills where your work isn't valued very much, but I'm always terrified that my writing sucks. This makes me put off marketing. No response in a day. They must think this is terrible. I push on my fear of marketing, but I still feel nagging fear all the time. When a client asks for rates or wants to move forward, I feel this little urge to ignore their email so there's no chance I'll get the assignment and fail.
Mm.
Just and her header
can
on
anybody else
her header on this
that?
Was I fear that my writing is horrible.
Okay. It's another variation on that theme of not being enough. It sounds like this writer is getting assignments, right, Carol? From what you've said.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so something's working. When you were talking about marketing, that fear of why haven't I heard back, you've really got to shift your focus to quantity, right? So you can send out one pitch and stare at your inbox, or you could send out three constantly circulating, focused on what's next, what's next, what's next. It's kind of a neat way to work with this fear of shifting your attention and your energy from the outcome to the process of doing it. Regarding ignoring emails requesting your rates or engaging in the money side of things, money fears are deep and they're interesting and they can definitely be worked with. I can't think of a good money mindset book right now, but if I do, I will pass it along to Carol and Linda. You can just Google that and see what comes up. But you may need to really kind of have a conversation with yourself. Am I in this business to get approval, validation that my ideas are good, or am I in business to make money, or is it a combination of the two? Validation and approval we talked about earlier today with Leanne. Ultimately, especially at the beginning, that's got to come from you. And if you can't do it all by yourself, a friend from this class can be a wonderful accountability buddy and helper in helping you keep the second part about, am I in this to make money? If you are in the business of writing, you're going to have conversations about money and make that a priority. So some people, it sounds actually like Ray was very good at this. She knew her beginning of the day. Get clear about what you need to do in a week, and then keep that top of mind as you go. All of a sudden, it'll be easier to get back to people asking for your rates if you know you're trying to hit a mark.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, Holly said her fear was that I'll never make enough and I'll go bankrupt. And never is a long time. You know, I know many writers who have hit a bad patch and gotten a part-time job on the side. I actually have a post I'll throw in about good part-time jobs that are sort of mindless, that don't sap a lot of your energy so you can still be writing. But, you know, it sort of goes back to, I'm forgetting which of our three people said, I don't know if I'm too old at 50. You know, Dear Abby used to get that question all the time. I want to go to medical school. I always wanted to be a doctor, but I'll be, you know, 57 when I get out of medical school. And her response was always, and how old will you be in 7 years if you don't go to medical school?
That is my favorite Ann Landers or whichever it won.
I know,
whoever
it's like,
it is.
It's
this is my
Ann
favorite.
Ever.
Whoa, I remember that particular column.
Yeah, best answer ever.
I like it a lot.
But can I mention something? Yeah. Just to get to Cindy here, she said, I feel like I need to be an expert in some area, and I'm not. And I have to tell you, I was freelance writing full-time for 17 years, and I was never an expert in anything except for maybe Slavic linguistics, and nobody would pay me to write about that. So you are a journalist. You're a reporter. You need to find and interview the experts. You do not need to be an expert.
Yeah, please. It's amazing how much people are racked by, like, but I'm not expert enough. I'll just tell you, I had been freelance writing for like 10 minutes when the head of the LA Times real estate section asked me to write cover features for him. And I was like, shouldn't I be a realtor or a mortgage broker or know something about real estate for that? And he was like, oh God, no. Have you seen how those people write? Your writing is funny and fun, and I want you to write for me. Learn about shelter issues and write for me. That's all. You aren't an expert. You talk to experts. Your expertise is writing.
Yes.
Kim says, I write a financial blog and I'm a mess. Why? Why are you a mess, Kim? Tell us more in chat. Tanya, I'm so relating. I have a hard time believing I'm a journalist without a degree, even though I've been published in a city magazine, local newspaper, and an online news blog. Kim, I'm not a financial expert either, and I have written about ratio analysis of your balance sheet and crowdfunding, and not being an expert is great, actually. If you're an expert, no one's going to pay you because they think you're writing to support your other business where you're an expert. When you want to get paid as a writer, you aren't the expert, by definition. Yeah, Linda used to write about credit unions. I have written about washing machine technology. You know, people have to get over this idea that I need to learn and learn and learn until I'm an expert. No, that's not it.
Yes. 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 You know, my audio tutorial, Fire in the Belly, addresses some of this. So I really encourage folks, if they're interested in learning more, to go to my website and download Fire in the Belly. It'll help you get that inner chutzpah, is that a good word, Carol? To that grit you need to ignore what you think is going on outside, what you think somebody thinks about your expertise, whether you're feeling is fraud. You've got to have something else kicking around in your gut that's fiery and that allows you to just take action. Because Carol and Linda can tell you all the, you know, again and again and again, just do it, just do it. But you have to be able to just do it. So really tend to that part of you inside that's telling you that you're a fraud, because you're not at all.
Awesome. So Carol, are there any more questions you wanted to get to, or should we wrap?
I'm looking,
it's 10 after.
I'm looking through. Yeah, we are a little over. I think we want to wrap. It was amazing. I'm so glad. Yeah, Marla, this has been fantastic. And yeah, thanks to everybody who agreed to be coached, Anne and Ray and Rita. That was awesome as well. The big thing we decided to do is that we need to create a template with those three columns, Marla, where you take a sheet of paper.
Absolutely.
And we'd like to hand that out as a hand.
Yeah, I have.
And I think we're going to dream up a permission slip for all of you that we're going to sign.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
I think
love that idea.
That's gonna rock.
And everybody gets a copy of the new meditation that I did. So
it came
out
awesome.
Up there.
Yeah.
Thank you.